And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, 106 in the afternoon. Temperatures kissing 80 degrees under partly cloudy skies and a light south breeze. Not too bad of a way to start the week. Beautiful, beautiful Monday out there. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki alongside Meteorologist Justin Storm and our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And hello, guys. How was your weekend?
It was good, Dean.
Bridget?
Very good. Good. I was in South Dakota, had a chance to look at the crop down there. It turned out very well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, well, we've got some rain in the forecast. We could really...
We could take it.
We could use some rain.
Okay. And we're going to get rain.
Right.
How much?
Half inch to an inch.
Doable.
Let's just say a half inch. And if we get more, that's better.
Is this going to be the isolated showers up to 3?
No, this should be more widespread.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
That's good news there, but I still don't see, I mean, you know, 80s, is this enough heating units?
Not yet.
We need
some more warmth. We're not there.
Mid-upper 80s?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. Justin, I'm sorry.
Man.
You should stay indoors. But yeah, we could stand to have some warmer temperatures right now. But we'll get there.
I'm good right where we're at.
Yeah, there's a lot of corn that's doing fine, mm-hmm. but, you know, the longer... We're cool the longer we have to be frost-free.
Oh, and I
saw some very poor corn in Minnesota this weekend. It looked very unhappy.
Were you in northern Minnesota or southern?
North and central.
Yeah, I would say.
I kind of took a huge loop around Minnesota this weekend.
I could see where you're coming from.
It was like 2 feet tall.
That was some late planting.
Jeez.
And some drowned-out acres.
2.5 foot and tasseled out.
Oh, that's not right. Was it really light green color like it was sweet corn?
No, it's green.
Okay.
Just very, very short.
Well, if we want to look for a positive, we can look at the fact that sugar beet harvest is going to be coming soon. Like pre-pile starts for certain folks tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Already? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. This is the chance to start opening fields and making sure that the plants are running accurately, et cetera.
So I was... looking through the global predictors, so the LRC, which that's Gary's new product that he has out right now. And I was looking for our first frost, at least here in Cass County. What'd you say the date was?
I want November 1st.
looks like somewhere the week of the 10th through the 16th, somewhere around there of October.
Okay, that's better. I could live with that.
Okay.
Sort of. Depends where I'm at.
You don't have a say.
Fair statement. I can keep wishing and hoping, but I'm not getting everything I want. Okay, fair enough.
So, hey, it's better than, you know, end of September or, you know, first few days of October.
Yeah, we're just going to want to go as long as we can.
August 6th, where they had frost and freeze out in western North Dakota.
We did. There were some low spots that did have frost damage to them. It got cold.
Oof. Yep. I saw like 34 last week out there out west.
32.
Did we bottom out of 32?
And Don.
32.
Okay.
And Don recorded some.
All right.
Some town I couldn't tell you because I don't remember it.
Never
heard of it either.
That was recorded in McIntosh and Logan counties. There was a couple of places, if I remember right.
Okay.
But
let me do my best to pronounce this one.
Just start spelling.
El Cabo.
Oh, El Cabo. Actually is way further west in North Dakota.
I like the way he pronounced
El Cabo.
It.
El Cabo. El Cabo.
That is actually further
32.
West. I forgot about that one. Because I had witnessed some messages between a farmer in McIntosh County and Darrell Richardson with Endon mentioning that they saw some really low temperatures out on their Endon stations locally. Mm. Yeah. It was pretty neat.
Oh, well, how about we run down the forecast?
All right.
How's that sound?
How much rain and when?
All right. Well, we've got a beautiful day today.
Any day but Wednesday.
Any day but Wednesday. That's right. Sorry. Sorry, Justin. We've got
that's all right.
Yeah, partly cloudy skies for the rest of the day. Currently, again, temperatures right around that 80-degree mark across much of the area, even warmer than that, low 80s in the Northern Valley. And we'll top out in the low 80s today with a light south wind about 5 to 10. Clear skies tonight. Might have another chance to see those northern lights as we bottom out in the 50s. And Tuesday, winds increase a little bit out of the south, southeast, 10 to 20. Highs again in the low 80s. And then Wednesday, clouds sticking up. We'll see showers and thunderstorms start to develop as we head throughout the day with highs both Wednesday and Thursday in the 70s. Pretty good chance of showers and storms Wednesday night lasting into Thursday. And as we said earlier, about a half inch to an inch across much of the area. So a nice, you know, a nice halfway decent soaking. We could tolerate if some areas that do get more than an inch, Bridget. We could, I mean,
it's, we take it.
It's been pretty darn
yeah,
dry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. With that moisture is going to go in nicely.
Right.
Crop's going to take it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then looks like we warm back up into the low 80s as we head into the end of the week, into the upcoming weekend. So no mid upper 80s, but we'll see a few before the month is done.
Probably. We usually do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry we couldn't string more together for you.
The Mother Nature does what she chooses.
She does.
We just follow along.
So, Justin, are you still sticking with your yield prediction, or you want to lower that a little bit? Are you?
You stick with your gut. You don't wibble wobble.
That's okay. Right. There's no backing down.
You'd make a horrible politician.
No, because I'd stick with what I said the first time.
That's exactly right.
You're not your typical politician.
bounce. Yeah, no, our corn looks great. We're hitting 225. It looks just like the corn in my game, actually, and I was hitting 280 in that.
That's perfect.
And the northern upper Mississippi River Valley map.
And, you know, gaming, slightly different, but we're just going to go with a yes, Justin. It's going to be fine.
Real life, hey, I got to worry about the weather, too. I get rained out. I get frost out. It happens. It's all seasons.
All right. So besides the weather, how about we share a couple of things that are going on statewide as far as agriculture is concerned. And one of them is that there is a new extrusion plant for Pulse products that has shown up in Minot, North Dakota. So we've had guests on before where we've talked about field peas, chickpeas, lentils, and so much more, and how those can be changed over into products that we can use in like gluten-free pastas. Also, a lot of the basis for plant-based meats can be developed from using proteins from peas and other crops. And so AGT Foods, which is based out of Canada, they've opened a new plant in Minot, and they're going to draw from a large area, not only North Dakota, eastern Montana, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and they want to draw into this. It's about a $160 million plant. The thing they liked is they're going to be on rail. There's plenty of trucking through the area. They can get access to the farm fields. And this is a company that's been around for at least 20 years. And if I remember right, they are in like 45 different countries around the world where they buy the crop and process it. And that way they're closer to markets and it gets used readily. So new business going on in Minot just for our pulse growers. They often feel like they don't have enough of a market. So there's another one for them.
Good.
Yeah, it's cool, a great spot. That's one thing that's going on up there. Secondly, who wants to go on a trip?
Where?
Well, there is a farm.
Yeah, it really depends on where. there are a few towns I have no desire to ever visit.
How about entire countries?
I have many countries I would never want to step foot in.
There is an exchange program with Australia and New Zealand.
That's all you had to say.
Okay. This is with farms, both sheep and cattle. They're usually called stations out there. And you can spend a year, if you're between 18 and 28, so Dean and I just got too old, but you can go out there and spend up to an entire year on a paid internship working on those sheep and livestock ranches.
Well, see, you could pass for 28. I couldn't.
Well, so. The nice thing with doing this is it reciprocates back here to the U.S. So if you spend your time over there, you could actually come back and bring someone with you. And they're actually expand the amount of countries that are interested. U.S. farmers have hosted folks from Brazil and other places where they're coming up and spending that year as an internship. It's not a labor source. This is truly an internship program where you mentor and teach what they're doing up here. So it's kind of a neat thing. It's through the State Department, and the program is facilitated by CAPE, K-E-E-P, and it was founded in 1956. So they've been doing this for quite some time. I like the idea of going to New Zealand. That's the Australia that's not trying to kill you. Right? Bugs, spiders, snakes.
It's trying to kill you slightly less.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they have nearly as many awful things in New Zealand as Australia can boast. So So that's few a little less. Different. A few less.
Crikey.
Well, and I mentioned Brazil as a place that they are wanting to bring folks here for their paid internships. And Brazil is a big rising competitor for us when it comes to our corn and soybean markets. They have already surpassed us in the as number one for exports in the U.S. Now we continue to see that going up. Little fun fact, every year there is land equivalent to half the size of the state of Illinois that goes into production. So that land that wasn't currently being farmed is now being added in. And they're making some big trends with China. China likes to partner up with somebody who doesn't want to threaten them. You know, we have a tendency to be a little firm, and Russia can be the same way. But China doesn't have a problem working with Brazil because they now trade back and forth in the same currency. It used to be they always used the U.S. dollars, the common denominator. They're actually bypassing us and not doing that all the time anymore. And they are going to continue to grow. They are overcoming a lot of their infrastructure hangups. They used to have trouble getting their product from the field to market. That's not the situation anymore. And we've actually had our problems up here. Now with the Mississippi being down, the river levels, we haven't exactly been able to move our transit as well either.
Well, that's not necessarily a good thing for us then.
Not a very good thing. Their cost of production right now is higher than what they're being paid for it. So we're all facing compressed prices in the marketplace. But Brazil is a top competitor for us for both corn and soybeans. I have some farmers that I talked to last week when I was at the Root Connection event in Gilby. And they're going to Brazil in November. They were really hoping they could have their corn combine before they left. And I asked that they take some notes, and then when they come back, come on air with us and talk about what they actually saw, because they'll be on actual production farms.
Now, what could we do to improve the situation?
Somehow we have to have a better price, so the markets have to be there. Mm-hmm. And we're certainly raising plenty of yield to go along with it. Right now, Europe looks to be a better source for us to be trading and selling. And I've heard speakers before, especially those who are farm economists, talk about not just us as the U.S. selling and marketing, but we should be doing it as North America, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. all as one group to have better bargaining power. We'll see if that should change.
Any of that in the farm bill?
I don't know that that's being discussed. I think that would have to come later.
Okay.
Right now, the farm bill just needs to get done,
which
it's still going to drag. Anybody who was at Farm Fest last week did not come out with great confidence that we're going to move that forward in this calendar year. I'll be at Farm Progress here soon. And I'll be curious to hear what discussions happen there, because that's going to be in Boone, Iowa. Chuck Grassley is a high-ranking member of Congress. He's trying to push that thing forward. And he's also got, you know, backup from from congressmen in Montana, Arkansas. You know, Debbie Stabenow up in Michigan says, yep, I want to get it done, but it hasn't gotten done yet. So there's a lot that needs to be covered. You have many people who are don't understand what has to happen to get a farm bill moved. So we'll keep waiting for it.
All right. Our guest coming up.
He's already joining us. Here he comes. We're going to be joined by Mark Wagner. He is with ND Estate Services. We're going to talk about farm transition planning. And I've got some questions specific for Mark about some of the things that may exist on land, structure that's contracted, et cetera, and what happens when you start building your transition plans. Where does that go? So we'll do that and more. Please be ready with your phone calls. You can reach us at 701-293-9000 when Mark joins us right after this. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. I'm here. Justin's here. Dean will be right back. He had to step out for a moment. I hope he brings me back something nice. Maybe he went to the mall. Anywho, just wanted to say thank you for those who are involved in our Here We Grow project. That has been so much fun as we watch our 20 acres of corn grow right up at Glendon, Minnesota. We're doing well. We are certainly forming nice little cobs. We probably could do a yield estimate just by counting kernels, you know, the number of rows around, our number of kernels in the row around the cob, as well as the length. We'll just see if we get close to what we hope for. Got to get that cob to fill all the way to the end, and rain this week will help. That seed was brought to us by Dairyland Seed. They've done a phenomenal job of being a sponsor, bringing us the best hybrid for our ground, and our farm cooperators, AB Seeds. That would be Trigby Skolness, Parker Skolness, and Justin Magnuson, who have been a tremendous help in making sure that it's been properly attended to. And Ellingson Drainage. The folks at Ellingson have done a wonderful job of putting the tile underground for us, making sure that we are keeping off the extra water that doesn't need to be needed for the plant so that our corn grows in its best possible yield scenario. I really appreciate all the background information the folks at Ellingson continue to share with us. So we also are joined in studio today by Mark Wagner. He is with ND Estate Services. Mark, how are you?
Good. Thank you, Bridget. I appreciate that.
All right. I've already started my list of questions for you. So we're going to see how far we can get.
Fun.
Okay.
This will be a blast. I'm looking forward to it.
If you think about average age of farmers in the U.S. is somewhere around 58 years old.
Okay.
And I have heard the statistic that less than 25% of farms have a transition plan.
Right.
Yes or no? Do you agree or disagree, Mark?
I would 100% agree with that. And not just that, what I'm also going to say, the transition plan that they do have, you guys, they have what they do. If you talk to local bankers, the local bankers tell them to put the kids' name on the cotton picking land.
Right.
So what has happened then when they die, the kids inherit that $5,000 acre plus they don't get a stepped up basis on that, you guys. And here are the bankers trying to give them all that advice. If I give my client that advice, they could come back and sue me. But if the banker's acting like a fiduciary and thinking, and the reason I mentioned that, I just had this happen in South Central North Dakota. I met with a family. We went to go see the bank. And after you get a trust set up, we have to get the trust properly funded.
Right.
Properly funded does not mean you're giving Mark any more money. My fees are all on flat fee. But
Mark would take more money if it was offered.
But what happens is if those accounts are in their individual name and their operating loan is in their individual name.
Oh, no.
The successor, their child who they want to go ahead and take over that to make sure the payments don't get delinquent. Guess what happens? It gets in delinquency. Probate can take the first 4 months in probate. Nothing happens.
Okay. So Dean asked me a question before we even came on air about doesn't it automatically go to spouse, et cetera, right. Next? And how can that work with the operating loan and the single names on bank accounts? What happens?
Well, for number one, if you put names on bank accounts like that, what happens is not only you're actually increasing the liability on that account. Because there's a good chance, just like our family farm, Dad, sometimes he has upper six figures in that account, depending upon what year it is.
And the time of the year.
And if Dad, if somebody gets killed, you know what, and you're on their phone when that happens, that account gets frozen until the case gets settled.
Oh, boy.
The first thing that happens is an attorney is going to do an asset search. And not just do an asset search on that, but if there's a divorce in the family, oftentimes the in-laws documents, all their financials get subpoenaed to see which documents they have the spouse's name on.
Oh, boy.
And they come back after 50% of that asset too.
Now, Bridget, you said, what was the number, 25%?
Less than 25% of farms have a transition plan.
Why?
It seems
like common sense, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? Who likes to talk about death and dying? Raise your hand.
No.
How many procrastinators we have in the room?
Yeah.
I think I'm the only honest one here. I'm raising my hand.
Okay, but I'm going to pile on to that deal for you because it's not just the wanting to procrastinate, you know, the fear of death. It's also because some of these folks are afraid that if they start the transition plan, it blocks them out financially from the ownership of their own assets. I think that's a misconception, Mark.
It can be, and oftentimes I want to illustrate here. When you have tangible farmland, it's called real property. Oftentimes, unless there is a long-term care plan, if there's no long-term care plan, what we are, depending upon what the clients are afraid of, a lot of them are afraid of losing that land to like a Medicaid lien. They go into the home and $200,000 a year, $16,000 a month. It doesn't take for 4 years to burn through $1 million. So what we'll do there in that type of case, it for the less than the cost of 1 year annual long-term care payment, they can get two trusts, One to protect the land from being sequestered by Medicaid liens. And the other one is to have bypassing probate any of the financial assets that they want to go to the heirs. And but not just that, but it also includes the entire servicing behind that. So not only are they going to get the trust from a qualified legal professional, but then they get 80% that needs to happen is after the trust is done, because we got to go to banks, we got to get EIN numbers, we have to go ahead and retitle titles. I mean, there is just a litany, and plus, if you have grain on what they call a deferred contract, they didn't take it all in 1 year for taxes, so they got it at the elevator. You know how many times that is forgotten?
Yes.
The attorney does not take your hand and go down to the bank, the elevator, your co-ops. That's called non-legal administration, and what he'll actually do, he'll still charge you $5,000 to $7,000 per trust.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have two trusts, it's very common to have over $12,000-$15,000 there. But what he's going to do, even though you paid that much money, he's going to send you what they call a letter of instruction, Bridget and Dean, and that's about 10 pages of all the different things you're going to have to. And a lot of those words are 15-letter words.
Oh, Mark.
We're getting Grammarly on the line. We're asking Siri. We're doing this. We're doing that. But I'm also going to throw something else in here. You get on your phone and you ask Siri, what is the social budget for North Dakota? The over 50% of the state's budget is for social programming.
Right.
So guess what the government wants half of the estate to go to?
Social programming.
Social programming. Let me ask you, do you want your family farm to go back to the government? You love you love these immigrants. You want to give them all your money. Matter of fact, they're giving you a monthly check right now. So
Mark, we have got a number of things here. One, I would tell you, I told this to Dean before we started. I know of at least three farmers who had a farm on paper for 2 or 3 years after they were dead until they got all this stuff sorted out. We don't want that to happen to people.
Well,
so we've got to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back and talk about that. And also, I have a listener question for you about where do we actually start? What's the first step? So when we come back, Mark, that's going to be on you.
Okay.
Everybody stay tuned.
We certainly can. This will be fun. It'll be exciting.
Fire up your questions. 701-293-9000. We'll be right back.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, it is hard to welcome you back when our mouths are full of baked goods from Great Harvest Bread Company.
Isn't it good?
Oh, thanks a lot for bringing that in here. You set it down knowing I was going to eat it.
Of course.
And it's like pumpkin, chocolate chip. I don't care. I'll eat
cinnamon.
The rest of it. Okay, it's fine. So they now have a cafe. You can find your favorite breakfast sandwich there. Stop for lunch. It is a great little stop at 1523 University Drive South in Fargo. They even have gluten-free breads for those of you who want to eat that way. So Great Harvest Bread Company, thank you for bringing that in. And then additionally, a big thank you for Wednesday this week. We have our teacher appreciation lunch. Swing on by. You can meet us here at the studios from 11 to 2. We've got food trucks bringing free lunch, bouncy houses, games, and it's sponsored by North Dakota State College of Science, Meats by John and Wayne, Prosperity Health Pharmacy, MSUM, The Glass, Dr. Otto, Welton's Tire Service, Games to Go, and Capstone Classical Academy. Teachers, school staff, swing on in for your free lunch on Wednesday with us. I will get here just in time to eat because I know all about timing.
So, hoping the rain holds off until after the event.
We'll see what happens.
It's going to be close.
Bring an umbrella.
I think we should,
it's
just
fine.
In case.
Bring an umbrella.
Yep.
Okay. And speaking of things that can happen just in case, well, that's why Mark Wagner is here with ND Estate Services.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. We had a lot of discussion while we were off air.
We did.
But
we
it all comes back to a listener question that I got.
Right.
And that is, where do we start? What's the first step in transition planning, Mark? Besides, they call you, then what?
I want to understand their heart. I want to understand why they want to do something. If you can't be definitive and say, you know what, I want my family, I want my kids, I want my grandchildren, because with a will, you know what, if you have named beneficiaries in a will, your child dies, guess who gets their share? Their spouse. That $5,000 acre land, guess what? That ain't going to go to that next generation. It can go to your grandson.
Oh, boy.
You know, so what we need to do is I want to understand why and how long you want to do something. And when we have an objective, we can plan around the objective. But if you can tell me, if you're sitting down with me and I'm asking you this, these questions and you're scratching your head, guess what it means? It means you just ain't ready yet, right? Mm-hmm. I want to understand why. Then when we understand why, there's a few things that I always love to implement. And the reason why I say that, because after you die, there's what they call a grieving process. And the kids are grieving.
Yeah, you're not going to skip that part of the process?
Absolutely not. That is one of the most important parts, because the kids need closure.
Sure.
If you cannot give your child closure, guess what he's going to do? I don't care if he's married. He's going to find someone to give him closure.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be an illustration relationship. It could be 12 ounces at a time. It could be he falls off into something could be even where they end up taking their own life because they're dealing with depression. So what we want to do is that is also something that only you can give to your heirs. That person, and you want to tell them that you love them, and I have letters in there. We have photographs. We do a really nice job on that, simply because if the transition doesn't happen and the kids aren't getting their attention as far as closure, we're not there to mean that we're holding their hand, but we can't give them that heart-sensitive information that your mom and dad love you, that we're so proud of you, that God has a plan for your life. And not only that, we're just so proud of the choices you're making. You know, I had to spank you, but you had it coming. You know, you had it coming that one time, and I let you have it.
Well,
only because I love you, right? And what then?
I heard
then
that
what?
A few times, then
what happens is, and they're reading this letter, and they're saying, "Mom and Dad did this." Is only something you can do for your kids. Your kids cannot do it for you.
No.
Setting up a trust and a succession plan is only something you can do for them. It's like a gift in a bowl package.
Well, it's better than sorting it out after they're gone without you any don't want direction. To do,
well, then, yeah, then it can be where I know an individual is a neighbor and their family estate's been probated now over 3 years. And I know the fee is going to be well over. And you don't realize that, but a will, just a couple things. An attorney has, it's actually a conflict of interest for most attorneys.
Sure.
To set up a will or set up a trust. Why? Because when they set up a trust, it doesn't go back through the attorney's office. Everything is in the trust. A successor trustee just takes over. When it's in a will, it comes back through the back through their office at about 7% of the value of the estate.
When it comes to doing all of these, Mark, one of the things you and I talked about before we even started was length of time. If someone wants to start their transition plan, what's your average length of time it takes for this to get processed, you might
say?
And
that's a good question. Typically, it can take anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks up to maybe 12 weeks. After, because what will happen is I'll make a recommendation of a legal professional. And they're going to send their information to them. If they can get that information to them ASAP, mm-hmm. it doesn't take long at all. Where it can get drug out a little bit is if they look at that letter, and every time they look at that letter, they start getting goosebumps. In other words, fear has encapsulated that individual. And we don't, only thing to fear in this process is not doing anything.
Well, that's the worst thing that could happen because, again, back to the folks who had a farm on paper after they were already gone because nobody had a plan.
You know, you spend money putting tile in the land. You spend money doing this. You spend money doing that. And now it is appreciated. And all of a sudden, they got a plan on a piece of paper. I mean, wills are contested when you die. And not only that is when it goes through a probate process, attorneys are, by judge's orders, paid first out of the estate. If there is no cash left in that estate, guess how those lawyers get paid there, Bridget?
It just gets taken away.
No, it gets, well, that too, but liens get put on property.
Yes.
You can talk to, they'll tell you right up, but you know what? An attorney will never tell you that.
Oh, no. And, okay, so speaking of things that happen in this process, who has ownership, etc. If you tell someone that it was in my wishes that I wanted this land donated to, let's say, a charitable organization, FFA or 4-H foundations, but if it's not in writing, nobody has to do anything on it, right? It can just fall through the cracks and retain, yeah, and they you can have retain to, ownership.
So, that's why it's so important, I think. We don't charge for meeting with people annually, but on an annual basis, we get to take a look at that, their wishes on that. And if the trust needs to be amended, that's when we do an amendment. Your first year legal changes with us, they're not at any cost.
Sure.
And that way, by the time we get started, by the time we get everything done, you'll see me probably anywhere between 3 to 5, 6, half a dozen times.
Sure.
Before it's all done that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we make sure that everything is addressed properly. And that is one of the things that we look at, yeah.
Another question I had that was here before we even started the show today. What happens to the ownership of things like wind towers and solar panels on the land when you're doing these transition plans? Do you have to factor all of that in as well?
Yeah, what we'll need to do there, that's another good question. That has to, that a contract with that wind farm needs to be assigned to your trust. You'll need an assignment. Needs to be retitled into the name of the trust, and I'll actually help you with that.
Okay.
We'll need a special form, just like with mineral acres. You know, they need a conveyance. In other words, we'll need a mineral deed. It needs to be filed. Then we have to take it over and give it to the leasing company, and then the name of the check gets filed into trust. Otherwise, that check will still come in the individual's name, and they're all probated. Then,
sure.
Then 90 days later, they're all void. You know?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I know. So you want to do that right. So wind towers, very similar. I've had a family member that I helped get their wind towers in their trust because no one could get it done. They didn't know.
Okay.
I said, well, what we need to do is we need to have that contract retitled in the name of the revocable trust.
Right.
And that way, if you're not here, your successor trustee can manage that contract, because those wind tower contracts are anywhere between 30 and 50 years. You won't be here.
Sure.
You're going to be croaking here after you're 100, you know.
You're not outliving those.
You're going to be pushing daisies here pretty quick. You know?
So as you think about all of the work that you have done with estate planning and transitions, is there anything that really strikes you in saying, this was the most unusual or odd item that I've ever had to try to fix or have come across? Not necessarily fix, but have come across and had to have a plan for it.
You know, I have. I had a family in Bismarck a few years ago. And what they did is one of their kids were going through a bad divorce, and the attorney sequestered all of his parents' financial information. And here they had a life estate deed that their son had. And when you have a life estate deed, every year the child owns more of that land. So they were going to come after that.
Oh.
And so we had to fix that real quick and in a hurry and put that in the name of the trust. I scratch my head sometimes why they do that to families.
Right.
Because if he would have died in that process and they're going through a divorce, they ain't divorced yet, so who would have got that?
Ex-wife.
Yeah.
Or ex-spouse, period.
Yeah, and good luck ever getting the kids get that. And it's so sad, but you know what? I don't think they're lazy, but they don't like trust, because when a trust is properly funded and well written, it omits them from that settlement.
Mm-hmm.
It does. They don't have to use that. Settlement is just a private settlement at the family table.
So we're saying the bottom line is don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid of the process, and it doesn't cost anything to visit. And when I do visit with you, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions like, why is this important to you?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to do this? And if you can't tell me a good reason, maybe you're not a good candidate yet. Maybe you're still, you know, but I did get a call from the Wall Street Journal here. What was it? Back in March. And they called me and they must have, I don't know how they heard of me.
Obviously from this show, Mark.
And they called me and go, why, Mark? How are people doing that? I go, well, first of all, they're giving the stepped up cost basis because all this transition of land to next generation, how are they doing that? I said, first of all, we're trying to get at the stepped-up cost basis. And secondly, we want to keep it in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And not having someone take it from them.
That's a huge portion right there.
Oh, right there in a nutshell. Absolutely, 100%.
And like you asked, Dan, you know, why are people afraid to do this? I think there is such an attachment to the land. This is probably one of the most emotional decisions that's made.
It's you know, because you got to realize Grandpa homesteaded that, right?
Yeah.
Great-grandpa did. Yeah, and so they have so many reasons to keep that in the family.
Right.
They get afraid because they hear horror stories about attorney charge them 10, 15 grand, you know, and granted some of the values are typically worth that, but you got to realize when we make a referral, all the legal work that needs to be done, simple flat fee of 2 grand.
Sure.
Well, why? Because we do so many of them. This year we'll do over 100. And every year it just keeps growing and growing. God has really blessed it. And I'm not saying that because Mark is some special person. It's just, you know, when you help. But when you help people at the point of their need and don't take advantage of them and you're genuine, you're transparent, guess what? Your phone's going to ring, guys. Mm-hmm. People love that service. I love it when people are serving me.
Well,
it feels so good. It really does. You get that, oh, wow, this is awesome. You know,
I have a feeling that you will continue to hear the phone ring after you visit with us on days like today.
It's a blessing, and every time it is, I just love to help people. And you have an attitude like that, you can't help but make people happy and making their estate pass on the way you want it. So,
well, thank you so much for joining us today, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Pleasure. God bless you guys.
Same to you as well.
I hear you're having too much fun, though, Dean. I want you to cut that out. And Bridger, you too. Yeah. You're looking fine today, too, Bridger, by the way.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the offer there.
we'll catch you guys later.
Thanks,
you guys.
Mark. God bless you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Hang tight, folks. We've got more to come. We got to finish up with our headlines and a little bit more weather, so we'll be right back.
All right, I'll be the one to bite. We'll open this can of worms here. Welcome back to the program. 152 on this afternoon, and temperatures sitting close to 80. We got a rundown on the forecast coming up in just a moment. Got a few moments left of the show as well. If you want to join in on the conversation, ask a question, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe phone line, or you can shoot us an email, weather@flagfamily.com. Just got done visiting with Mark Wagner from North Dakota Estate Services. Very interesting. Always fun to chat with Mark and talk about things that a lot of times people just don't want to talk about, and that would be the transition plan from one generation to the next. And if you missed that interview, you can always go back to the website, wdayradionow.com. Click on that past show archives button, and you can listen to that about 25-minute interview we had with Mark. Now, why don't we do a quick rundown of the forecast? And we got a few ag topics we got to run down. Dean, how's the rest of this week looking? Because right now, this weekend was pretty good in my book. Wasn't too hot, wasn't too cool. Had just enough wind to kind of stay cool when you're directly in the sun. Is that going to last?
Well, we've got some rain and some much-needed rain in the forecast, and that looks like it will get here as we head in.
There's a party. Here's Bridget and her blender.
Whoops.
Glad she could
That's
make
not
it.
The right one. How about we go to that
So glad
one.
That popped
Lock
up.
It up Lock it up.
We've got partly cloudy skies right now, upper 70s, low 80s across the area. We'll top out in the low 80s most areas with those winds out of the south, only about 5 to 10 today. Clear skies tonight, good viewing again of the northern lights. Not a guarantee tonight, but there's strong signals that we might have another good viewing night tonight with light winds out of the south and temperatures in the 50s. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy, low 80s with a south-southeast wind, a little breezier, 10 to 20. Rain does come into the forecast as we head into Wednesday later in the day, and then especially Wednesday night into Thursday morning. That looks to be the best shot with highs in the 70s both Wednesday and Thursday. Half inch to an inch across much of the area, so that's good news there. And then as we head into Friday through the weekend, mainly dry. Can't wholly rule out something over the weekend, but I'm going to keep it dry for now with temperatures Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right around 80 degrees. So not the higher heat for the corn, but
we're taking what we get. Look, I can ask and I can wish and I can hope for all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
Mother Nature's still going to say what she wants.
Yeah. And so, you know, let's hope we get closer to that inch mark in terms of rain across much of the area, because that will help out. That'll help things out.
Oh, I think we'd be fine with that. I mean, there's still enough summer left. I know school is starting soon. People have already begun to bemoan the less sunlight in the day. We're losing somewhere like 2 minutes of daylight per day now as we move towards December 21st. It'll be fine. This happens every year.
Yeah.
Calm down. I mean, I don't want to tell you how this thing ends, but like in Titanic, the ship goes down and we're going to have short days and the winter's going to come and it'll be all right. Just my opinion.
My grandma was up in town this weekend and we were visiting and it was 78 and sunny and she was cold and wanted a sweatshirt. Well, she's lived in Arizona the last 10 years or whatnot, so it's been 120 down there for the last couple weeks. And I had to remind her, I was like, Grandma, if you think it's cold, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it gets like 95 degrees colder than this in the winter. she did not like that answer.
Way to wreck it for Grandma. Oh, I like that. That's not a bad way of reminding her. Very good.
No, it was pretty fun, pretty comical. Anyways, I could use a bit more water. The garden's doing fine, but pumpkins could use a little more water, help push them along.
I would say if we get an inch of rain this week, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to have to start going back to weeding, but it's going to be fine.
Really?
I don't have any red tomatoes
yet. I actually haven't had to
do
much weeding at all. The canopies have basically covered all the ground in the garden. There's not much room in there for weeds to grow in the first place. I don't know if you saw it. I sent you guys a photo. At the beginning of the year, I got some of those giant pumpkin seeds, the pumpkin that what was his name?
The guy from Ginger. Minnesota. Yes.
Yeah, down in Anoka. I got some of those seeds and growing giant pumpkins. I got one that's like yay big. It's bigger than a beach ball right now out at the farm. Can't wait to see how big that thing gets in the next month.
Kind of am too. It'd be awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I wasn't expecting to get any of them, but I don't know. It's kind of cool to have a gigantic pumpkin growing.
Did you name it?
It has no name.
Okay.
For now.
What would you name the giant pumpkin, Dean? That could be a thing. What would you name it?
The dude.
The dude. The dude.
I'd name him the dude.
I don't know. I'll think of something.
Yeah, we'll think of something there.
Oh, okay. I can't even believe I'm going to ask you to this. one of our morning shows said they do not have a walk-up theme for me. When I do a once a week spot with Scott Hennen's show. And he said, well, Bridget, by next week, you're going to have to think of what you want for your walk-up song whenever we start your segment. And I haven't thought of one yet. In fact, it just reoccurred to me that they want one. I guess I can open that up for listeners to make suggestions. Oh, Justin has his hand up. What do you suggest?
Oh, it's a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
Oh, that would be that one. I will have to ask for that one. That would be awesome.
That would be great.
All right, I'll give that one my best shot. Thank you so much.
There you go. You can send in those
suggestions.
Suggestions to AG at flagfamily.com. Bridget will get those.
And she has
full
veto
power.
Or you can text it to her. Yeah, you can text me, but I still have veto power. So let's keep it clean, kids.
I am
or enter a block
Jim
list.
As my running mate. And today I'm
don't play that one.
No,
what
I was
are
good.
You
I'm waiting.
Doing?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Oh, you found it.
There we go.
It is.
Okay. Give it a 20-second head start here.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is the story told me with a flower. And
we're done.
Here's
Bye.
The tale of flower told. Oh, I'm a lonely widow petunia in an onion patch, an onion patch, an onion patch. I'm a lonely widow petunia in an onion patch, and all I do is cry all day. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. The air's so strong it takes my breath away. Quite